Will you open your Bibles with me tonight to Isaiah 7:14, please? Isaiah 7:14. And I just want to share some thoughts with you tonight about the gift. About the gift. Isaiah 7:14. Would you stand with me this evening, if you're able to stand, as we read this passage of Scripture here and we'll have our prayer time. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, I won't have you turn there, but 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Just want to share a thought with you tonight entitled, "The Gift." Father God in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this dear pastor and his family, and this body of believers here. And again, Lord, they've been so good to me over the years, having me, allowing me to come and taking care of me while I've been with them. And Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you'll bless my thoughts and words as I share with these dear people about the gift. And by chance, if anybody's in church but they're not in Christ, it is my prayer, Lord, they would receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord before they leave here tonight. It would be a shame to celebrate Christmas and not be a Christian. And so I pray if there's one here who doesn't know you as Savior, before they leave, they would see that you have given them the greatest gift, and all they have to do is receive it by faith. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for any good that comes out of this service, for you deserve it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated, and I appreciate you standing. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. First, I'd like to talk to you tonight about the gift of the Father. The gift of the Father, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the Father gave his Son to the world. And then we'll talk about not only the world, but the wages. Because he gave his salvation to the believer. Not only giving his Son to the believer, but salvation to the believer. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not only the world, not only wages, but works. He gave his security to the believer. See, you can't work your way to heaven because Jesus Christ has done all the work there has to be done on the cross of Calvary. There's only two religions in the whole wide world, do or done. Either try to do something to win God's favor, realize there's nothing you can do, bow your head and heart, and put your trust and faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, before I got saved, I made me a list. I said, "I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop doing drugs, and I'm going to stop doing all these bad things." And I made this list, and I thought if I could keep that list that I would win favor with God, get my record deal, go to heaven, live a wonderful life. But I couldn't keep that list. When I finally got to the point where I realized I can't keep the list that I've made for myself, that's when I fell on my knees and I said, "God, I've been trying to do this all on my own, but I can't do it." And I cried out to him and begged him for forgiveness and put my trust and faith in Christ alone. And that's when my world changed. Hallelujah. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And as I quoted this morning in Sunday school, John 10:27-30, it's just a wonderful thing to know that when you trust Jesus Christ as Lord, then you don't ever have to worry about going to hell because you're eternally secure in Christ. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." This is a capo that I use to change the key on my guitar. It's a cheater, we call in the music business. But imagine this is me. And the moment that I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, I was placed in the hand of the Father, in the hand of the Son. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Bible says that no man can take that from me. That means you cannot take my salvation from me. I'm a man. I can't take it from myself. I'm secure in Christ. What a wonderful thought. Hallelujah. The gift of the Father. Do you realize that even work is a gift? If you have a job, you need to thank God for that, because work is a gift. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Wealth is a gift. Now, I am not monetarily wealthy, but I am very rich in Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad about that. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wealth if you use your wealth to further the cause of Christ. Wealth is a gift. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor." This is the gift of God. Now, water is a gift, and we know that the Bible is the water of life. Jesus was talking to a woman by the well in John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Wisdom is a gift. Now, here I have a hard time with this. I pray for wisdom all the time. I always tell people I'm not a smart man, but I do have a PhD. My dad gave that to me when I was a kid. Post hole digger. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Wisdom is a gift. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You know, there's different gifts. A lot of people have different gifts. God has given me the gift of evangelism. I'm over the top in that. You know, I love passing out gospel tracts. I love witnessing to people. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't come naturally. I have to ask God for that. I can fly from here to California and never say a word to the person sitting beside me. That's my nature. But before I get on the plane, I say, "God, there's somebody going to be sitting beside me when I get on that plane." And I say, "Give me wisdom as I talk to them. Give me boldness so I will talk to them." And sometimes I get to talk to people, sometimes I don't. I've led people to Christ on airplanes, in airports, grocery stores. You know what? You can lead somebody to Christ anywhere. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. But you know, there was a time in my life when I first got saved. I was a single young man. And when I got saved, The news went out through Nashville, Tennessee. Bruce Fry has got religion and he's lost his mind. And I told him, I said, "No, I had religion for 43 years. Now I have a relationship with Jesus Christ." There's a big difference. But, you know, my singleness during that time, that hurt. This was my whole first year as a Christian. I would go to Sunday school Sunday morning. I would go to the worship service Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, I would go to the Sunday night service. Now, I'm a brand new baby Christian. I'm sitting on the front row. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to grow. And then I had to drive from Nashville, Tennessee to Cleveland, Tennessee, where I worked all week long. And on my trip there, it's a 2.5-hour ride, I was listening to Lester Roloff on the radio. I was listening to Adrian Rogers. I was listening to Oliver B. Green, all these old preachers from days gone by. And I was memorizing scripture as I was riding up and down the road. And then when I got to my job there, I worked on Monday, and I started going to Shenandoah Baptist Church on Wednesday nights. But Monday night, when I got off work, I would go meet the pastor of that church, Pastor Steve Grubbs, and he was taking me out. We were knocking on doors, and he was teaching me how to be a soul winner. Then on Tuesday night, they had a boys' ranch and a girls' haven, so I would go to the boys' ranch on Tuesday night, and sometimes I'd sing a song, and I'd get to hear preaching on Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night service, I'd get to hear preaching again. Thursday night, I would go with the pastor's son to the rest home, and I'd play the guitar, and he would preach. And then Friday, after I got off work, I would drive all the way back to Nashville, listening to my preachers on the radio, memorizing scripture. And then when I got there, I would go to my pastor's house. I'd been working on my discipleship lesson all week, and I would sit at the table after we had dinner with him for 2 hours, and he would answer my questions. And then Saturday, I would meet my pastor, and we'd go door knocking. He was also trying to teach me how to be. I had two pastors my first year as a Christian. One that was my drill sergeant. I needed that because I was a rebel and God was helping me with him. And then the other one put his arm around me and loved on me. I needed both of that. And God knew that I needed that. And then Saturday night I had off, and then Sunday it would start over. And that was my whole first year as a Christian. You know, that single time in my life was a gift from God. Singleness is a gift. 1 Corinthians 7:7. "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man had this proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that." Saving grace is a gift. But unto everyone, Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Spiritual gifts are a gift. Now, everybody's got different spiritual gifts, but everybody has something. You know, I have some people say, well, I don't have any gifts. Well, you better check that, because God says he has given you a gift and you need to find out what that is and use it for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and some gave apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. Do you realize that your preacher is a gift from God to your life? To your life, absolutely. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. So we talked about the gift of the Father. Now let's look at the gift of the Son. The gift of the Son, number one, he gave his body. Luke 22:19 says, this is my body, which is given for you. Not only did he give his body, but he gave his blood. And I have a lot of scripture here that I could go through, but I'm trying to move along here a little bit. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Not only did he give his body, did he give his blood, but he gave his best. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Hallelujah. So we've talked about the gift of the Father, the gift of the Son. Now how about the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the moment you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside you? Number one, he gave his peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He gave his power, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not only did he give you peace and then give you power, he gave his presence. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere I go, God goes with me. Hallelujah. So after all of this, the gift of the Father, the gift of the Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit, what can we give to the Master for Christmas? It's his birthday. You know, it's a funny thing. Everybody celebrates the birthday of Christ, but nobody's given him anything. I think it'd be a good thing to give him. What can you give God who has everything? Number one, you can give him the gift of a testimony. The gift of a testimony. Make a public declaration of his faithfulness, provision for your life. You need, if you've never been baptized, that is a way for you to show people that you love God. Because he commands you to be baptized, Acts 2:41. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. See, that's a 3-point verse there. They gladly received his word. They got saved. Then they got baptized. And then they joined a New Testament local church. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we should have a good testimony. When we leave the church, we shouldn't act different out there than we do here. We should act the same out there. And we're not always going to get patted on the back for it or get a medal for it or anything like that. As a lot of times we'll get persecuted for our faith. But God says we need to have a good testimony. We need to give him back the gift of a testimony. Number two, we can give him the gift of service. Be available, expendable to do God's bidding in your life. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word present there can be said another way. Not present, but present. Give your life a present back to God. Say, God, here I am. That's what I did. You know, I used this guitar and my talents for myself all those years. But when I got saved, I said, God, I've used this to glorify me all this time. Now I want to use it to glorify you. I was talking to a man tonight outside about that. And when I first got saved, I really struggled. Should I use this guitar? So I didn't know what to do with it. I was having such a struggle with it because music had been my God for so many years. And I didn't want anything, music or guitar or anything, to come in between this new relationship I had with Jesus Christ. So one day I finally knelt down, not in front of this guitar, it was a different one then, but I knelt down in front of that guitar and I said, God, I'll sell it, I'll burn it, I'll take it out back and I'll throw it in the dumpster if I can't use it for you and for you to get the glory for it. I said, but if I can, I want to. And after praying that, that's when God started giving me songs and I started writing. And God has allowed me to use the gift that He's given me for His glory. Hallelujah. The gift of service. Number three, the gift of worship. Magnify God's name and draw upon His limitless resources often. Psalm 34:3. This is my wife and I. This is our life verse together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Philippians 2:9-11 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hey, think about this. The gospel is one gift that you can receive and keep for yourself and still give away to other people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the first two letters in God's name is go. First two letters in the word gospel is go. And the Bible says in Mark 16:15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, God doesn't call everybody to be an evangelist or a pastor, but God calls every born-again believer to preach the gospel to every creature. And God has given us everything that we need. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gift of His Son. What a wonderful thing. Gospel. God offers sinful people eternal life. And I know I've shared this with you before, but I always like to share acrostics. The one for Bible, believer's instructions before leaving earth. That's good. Joy, Jesus, others, and you. And then faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And then this one, gospel, God offers sinful people eternal life. And you can find the word gospel right in the middle of John 3:16. For God, there's the G, so loved the world that He gave His only. There's the O, begotten Son. There's the S, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting. There's the E, life. And I think I missed a letter there, but you know what I'm saying. The word gospel's right in the middle there. I promise you it is. My spelling's not good. I went through elementary school and high school basically untouched by education. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that? You know, I had a friend of mine. Years ago, I bought him a gift. I loved him. I wanted him to have this gift. And so I bought it for him. I wrapped it. I put it under the tree. And all of a sudden, Christmas is over. I'm getting ready to take the tree down. And there's one present laying up under the tree. And it was the present that I had bought for my friend. So I called him on the phone. And I said, hey, you never came by to grab your gift, man. I thought you were going to come by. And he said, yeah, I got busy. I'm sorry. He said, just give it to somebody else. And he refused the gift. That I bought it, I wrapped it, I did everything that I could do. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. He's done everything to give thee the gift of eternal life. And there are still people who are rejecting it. And you may be here and you've been rejecting it, but you know what? God wants you to receive that gift tonight by faith. You know, wouldn't it be better to celebrate Christmas as a Christian? And you can receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ by placing your trust and faith in His death, burial, and resurrection, calling on Him alone to save you from your sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I had several people that I talked to from time to time, and they tell me that they're a Christian. And I said, well, tell me, how do you know you're a Christian? One guy told me, he said, I almost died in a car wreck one time. And he said, man, I should have died. And I didn't die, so I must be a child of God. And I said, well, sir, I said, God saved your life, but that's different than Him saving your soul. You see, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever shall survive a car wreck shall be saved. One girl told me this. She said, well, I remember when I got saved, it was like yesterday. We were walking on the beach, my mom and I, the clouds opened up and a sunbeam hit me. And right then I knew I was a child of God. I said, I'm sorry, dear, but you're confused. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say, whosoever shall be hit by a sunbeam shall be saved. I'm sorry. That's not the way it works. And you know, so many people have so many different ideas about how to be saved by the grace of God. And in closing tonight, I'd like to share a story with you called John 3:16. My dear sister is going to play the piano for me tonight. And as I share this with you, I want you to listen to it very carefully. And if you're here tonight and you've never received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, at the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that because God loves you and He wants you to celebrate Christmas as a Christian. In the city of Chicago, one cold, dark night, there was a blizzard out The snow was coming down. The wind was blowing so hard. There was a little boy on the street corner trying to sell newspapers. He was a homeless little boy. And it was so cold and it was so frigid out there. The wind was blowing so hard, he wasn't selling many papers because there were not that many people on the street that night. So he walked up to a policeman and he said, "Sir," he said, "you don't know where a poor boy can find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you?" He said, "I live in a box right up under there around the corner, and it sure gets cold in there at night." That policeman looked down at that little boy. He said, "Son," he said, "I want you to walk down this street. When you get to the next street," he said, "there's a big white house right there on the corner. I want you to walk up to the door and I want you to knock on that door. And when they answer the door, I want you to say this, John 3:16. The little boy said, "Okay." And he walked down the street and he walked up the steps of that house and he knocked on the door. And this lady opened the door and he went, "John 3:16. She said, "Come on in, son." He walked in there and she took him in a big living room there and set him down in a big old stick bottom rocker right in front of a big old fireplace. And she said, "I'll be right back," and left him there. He's sitting there, he's getting warm and he's looking at that fire and he said, "Wow." He said, "John 3:16. He said, "I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." She came back in a few minutes later and said, "Son, are you hungry?" He said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "I hadn't eaten in a couple of days, and I probably could use a little bit of food." She said, "Will you come with me?" She took him into a kitchen, and there was a table full of food out there. He sat down, and he ate until he couldn't eat anymore. He was so full. And he thought for a second, John 3:16. Wow, I still don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full. She said, "Son, come with me." And she took him upstairs and had a big old bathtub there. And she filled it up with water and with suds and handed him a towel and said, "You jump in there and get cleaned up." And she said, "I'll come back and get you in just a little bit." He got in that tub of water and he was thinking, he said, "Man," he said, "last time I took a bath was in front of a big old fire hydrant on a street corner." He said, "The last bath I've had." He said, "This is wonderful." He said, "I don't understand this John 3:16 business, but I'll tell you what, it sure makes a dirty boy clean." She came back in after he had his bath and she took him in a bedroom with a big old feather bed, laid him down in that feather bed and pulled the covers up onto his neck, kissed him goodnight, said, "I'll see you in the morning." And he looked out the window and he could see the wind blowing and the snow coming down. It was so cold and so dark outside. He thought to himself again, John 3:16, "I don't understand it, but it sure makes a tired boy rested." He woke up the next day and she took him back down to that big old table full of food and he had him some breakfast. And she took him back in that living room and set him down in that big stick bottom rocker in front of that big old fireplace. And she opened up a big old Bible to John 3:16. She said, "Son, do you understand John 3:16? "No, ma'am, I don't. First time I heard it was last night when the policeman told me how to use it." She said, "Well, I want to share something with you, and I want you to listen to very carefully." And he said, "Okay." She said, "John 3:16 says, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.'" Wow. And then she told him, she said, "You see, son, the reason God had to send his Son for us is because we're sinners. You're a sinner. And I'm a sinner because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." She said, "Son, have you ever told a lie before?" And he said, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I've lied a lot." She said, "What do you call people that tell lies?" He said, "Liars." "Has you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? You ever stolen anything?" She said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure have. I've done that too." She said, "Well, what do you call people that steal stuff?" He said, "A thief." She said, "See, you're a liar and you're a thief. And God said in his word, 'Thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not steal.' You've broken the laws of God. And if you stood before God and he judged you by his law, would you be innocent or guilty?" The little boy hung his head down. He said, "I'd be guilty." She said, "That's right. We're all guilty because we've all done things wrong." And she said, "You know what? That's the bad news. Because we're guilty, We deserve to go to a place the Bible calls hell, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that word death is not only physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. That's bad news too. And he said, yeah, that doesn't sound good at all. She says, but the Bible doesn't end there. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though we deserve hell, even though we should be punished for our sin, Jesus loved us so much that he came and he took our sin on his body on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love, or demonstrated or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then she shared with him Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then she showed him Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She said, son, do you know how to call on God? He said, I have no idea how to do that. She said, well, the Bible teaches us we need to call on him in repentance and faith. Repentance is very simple. First of all, repentance means you change your mind. You change your mind about yourself. You're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. You can't do good enough to get to heaven on your own. You change your mind about your sin and realize your sin is against a holy and righteous God. And then you change your mind about your Savior and realize Jesus Christ is your only hope for heaven. Because he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And she asked that little boy, she said, son, do you understand everything I've shared with you? He said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, would you like to call on God right now and ask him to be the Lord of your life? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, yes, I would. He bowed his head, bowed his heart, and confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord. Asked God to forgive him of his sin. And that day became a child of the living God. And after he got through praying, he looked up and he said, wow. He said, I still don't totally understand all of this. John 3:16. But it sure makes a lost boy saved. And you know what? I don't totally understand it all. But it makes this lost boy saved as well. What a God. What a gift. The unspeakable gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this night. Thank you for in so many ways reminding us of this so great salvation. And I ask, Father, for those in this room who surely do not know, surely do not have the assurance, I pray for them, Father, they'll not rest tonight. And this couple in this room we've even been praying for, Lord, for salvation, may they not rest till they open their hearts to the gospel. Thank you, Brother Fry, and how he's ministered to us. Lord, I pray you'll bless the fellowship now of your people. Go with us in your love, God. Give us a great week for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.